Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
Good morning. Something that I felt that God wanted me to remind you of is the name of this church is Cerrito House of Worship. That's a kind of a neat thing to live up to, isn't it? It's a house of worship. And that's our main function is here, right? Yes. Is to come and worship God, praise God. And so I hope that when you come through those doors, you come prepared for that. I hope you leave everything else out there somewhere and never pick it up again. That your whole focus is to come and this team that's sitting here behind us, it's their place to lead us into that worship.
Yes.
So there's a lot of heart that has to go into these guys, ladies being together in unity to come before the throne of God and to lead us into that place. Okay. As we go through this time of the year, just no matter where you go, you hear worship music, right? That's what this season's all about. You know, it should be every day, but this is a season that no matter where you are, there will be some type of acknowledgement of the birth of Christ. So let's keep that heart. Let's keep that heart open, that heart going. Let people see us as a house of worship. That's you, okay? He lives in you. You be that house of worship. And so just today, be reminded in that. So please stand with me while we pray. Father God, we do come before you this day. And Lord, may you touch our hearts. May the openness, Lord, that we submit to what you want to do to us with us today, Lord. Thank you, Father, that every day that we come into this church building, we come with a house that's full of worship for you, Lord.
Thank you.
Each one of us. We praise you, Lord. Holy Spirit, have your way with us this day. Let there be just the flow of your Spirit that reaches out to your throne room, Lord. That we could sing with the angels. Mm. That we could praise you as they do in our eyes 24/7 each day, Lord. And all we're doing here is just spending an hour or two. One day, Lord, we will be doing it for eternity. So we thank you, Father, for that you've put this church together. Lord, you brought us to be a church. So we thank you, Father. We praise you. And Lord, as we come into worship this morning, Lord, that we would be all one. And so, did you want to say something? I think my wife wants to continue with this prayer.
One of the things that when we were in prayer this morning, I had a vision. And the vision was, as you walk in and you go into that little corridor, that little area right there, I saw the Lord's Spirit, the glory of the Lord go through there. It was just, and every person that walked in, it was like a steam bath. It was something that if your robe was a little tainted, it just made it white as snow.
Thank you.
So everyone, as you worship, as you know that your robe is as white as snow, and God's Spirit just took care of it.
Amen. So let's worship. Amen.
Hallelujah.
I guess I was kind of holding back, but I guess the Holy Spirit's saying you better go up there. Okay, so the last song spoke volumes to me, surrendering your life to the Lord, for He is a God that is faithful and merciful, is He not? In every walk, wherever we go, whatever we do in our lives, He is somebody that we can surrender to. And I'm thankful for this time that we celebrate the Lord's birth. And He is just my all, and I know He's your all. So we will surrender in agreement all of everything that has come our way that we no longer should carry, because Jesus carried it on the cross. He took it all. We are to surrender all that and just give it unto Him. Amen. Amen.
God and Lord and Jesus love you. Merry Christmas.
Ben and I had an agreement last week. I said, hey, you're coming to the mic next week. Yeah, okay. He wanted to do it after everybody was gone last week. I said, no, man, you don't do it now. That's like the rest of my church. Knock it off. Yeah. I said, you're doing it during service, man. Come on, man. Praise God. Praise the Lord. How many like all the lights that are up? Everybody like, I love Christmas. How many of you guys say, yeah, I like Christmas? I like the lights. I like the season, amen? Jesus is the reason for this season, amen? Yes. Hallelujah. My Savior. Yes. You know, there's a lot of people out there in the world, man, they don't get it yet. Amen? How many years have you been celebrating Christmas, and what do you think you're celebrating? I don't know, man. But I praise God. I praise God for a Savior that came, that left heaven to come for me. Can you say amen? I thank God for that. Hallelujah. I surrender now. It's too late now, bro. No. Too late now, bro. Come on, man. All right. Where's the mic? You got to stop by the shop over there, man. You see, this is what happens when you don't show up very much, man. Praise God, man. Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Thank you, Lord.
Praise God. You know, it's just a testimony. Praise God. You know, I was hunting one day and the doctor called me. And they told me, hey, Ruben, you know, the last test they gave you, you know, they says, they found a spot in your right kidney. And he says, you know, we want to get another test. He says, you know, we want to see, you know, what it is, you know. And I says, well, you can't right now. I go, because I'm hunting right now, you know, so. Yeah, well, you need to come in because, you know, this is serious, you know. And I go, no. I says, I'm hunting. When I get done with my hunting, then I'll go. And he says, you got to take it serious, Ruben. I says, you know what? I got Tuesday off. I'll go Tuesday. You know, you schedule it for Tuesday. You know, I'll go Tuesday and get that exam, you know, that MRI or whatever you want to call it. And so I went, you know, and I got the MRI. And then later on, I went to go see another doctor. You know, the doctor goes, yeah, Ruben, you know, they found a spot on your right kidney. And the thing is that I don't know how long it's been there. I said, well, I know it wasn't there ago because, you know, I've taken, you know, a few MRIs because of other tests. I go, you know, but the thing is, I go, you know. So what we want to do is, as you know, there's some doctors that can go in there with a needle and, you know, some needles and stuff like that and destroy it, you know. But we got to find out, see where it's at. If it's in a... If it's in a bad place, you know, we can't, you know, we can't go with needles. So, later on, you know, they checked. The doctor says, you know, no, we can't go in there. You know, this isn't a fragile place. You know, we can't go in there with a needle. So, I went there, you know, and I saw another doctor. And he says, you know, right now we can put you under. But, or, you know, we can do it. You know, and it's going to take about 15 minutes. You know, we go in there with a needle, you know, and then get some fluids out. And it'll probably take about 15 minutes, you know. Okay, do that. So they went in there, you know, and they took the fluid out. And my wife was outside, you know, and she goes, you done already? Yeah, let's go. So we left. And then I saw another doctor. And he goes, okay, he says, you know, we're going to go in there, and we're going to cut here and here, and, you know, we're going to pull it out and everything. I says, no, you're not. I says, you know, it's been a year already, you know, and the thing is, says, you know, what if it's good? What if it's nothing there? Well, no, but, you know, it's there. You know, we saw it. No, you saw it a year ago. You don't know if it's there. So the thing is that I left, but a year later, I saw the other doctor, and he says, you know, Ruben, it's been, I noticed that you didn't see Dr. Schwan or whatever, and the thing is that, I can't even follow through, because it's already been over a year, and I says, you know, the thing is, you know, he didn't have no proof for me. I want another MRI. So I went and took another MRI and says, okay, after the MRI, I says, I'm going to see you about a couple of weeks later. Okay. So I went down there, and they, doctor goes, it can't be. You know, I saw your results this morning, but he says, you know, I looked at him. He says, it can't be. He says, you know, either they grow or, but, you know, they can't, you know, they can't dissolve, you know. I says, doc, I serve a mighty big God. I serve a mighty big God. I go, you know. He says, I don't care. I'll take anything you tell me right now. He says, you know. He says, I'm going to schedule for August of next year. He says, you know. Hey, doc, you're going to check it and ain't nothing going to be there. And I praise God for that, you know. I pray for people in the name of Jesus. A lot of people say, a lot of people say, says, hey, you know, you pray for him, you know, I'm still the same, you know. And then I says, you know what? You got to wrestle with God. So what do you mean you got to wrestle with God? Jacob wrestled with God until he got blessed. And when I claimed that I wasn't going to be there, I knew I wasn't going to be there because my God, they scared me. And that's the way it is, you know. That's so. Somebody turn this off, huh? Anyway, I don't need it. I don't need it. And the thing is, you know, when I was in the state prison over there, and I went down there just to minister, and the power went off.
Oh, wow.
And there were some people out there, and playing soccer, people playing baseball, people playing basketball, soccer, and everything. I didn't need a microphone. They can hear me. They were turning around and looking. Why? Because when I used to get drunk, I had a big mouth. And now I'm drunk in the spirit, and I still have a big mouth.
Hallelujah.
Amen. And I will give God all the glory every time he does something good for me. That's or he does it for somebody else.
Yeah.
Yes. I was sitting over there, and I says, I got.
Yes.
Amen. I got to tell people how good you are, Lord. Yes. I know a little girl in here, and she's going to get healed in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Right, Mija? Because we never give up.
That's it.
I grab her, and I hug her all the time, and I tell her how much I love her. And the thing is that
that anointing when Jesus, when Peter was passing by, it says a shadow. It wasn't a shadow. It was the anointing of him.
Amen.
That touched people and they were made whole.
Yes.
And that's what I claim for all the children that are sick, for all the people that are sick.
Amen.
Amen.
Brother over there, you know, he goes, he touches you. You know why he touches you? Because he wants you to touch, to feel that anointing.
Yes.
And if you're sick, he will heal, you know, God will heal you.
Yes.
Because that's the way God is, you know. Love will cover a multitude of sins.
Yes.
God is good. God always is good.
Yes.
I don't care if people walk out this door. They didn't leave alone. Because his word went out, it will not return void.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
That's what we got to claim.
Yes.
You know, my wife goes, well, you know, this and this. I say, Patsy, please, but let me get rich. You know what I mean? Because, you know, that's what I feel.
That's it.
That's what I feel. I remember one time, you know, there was a, when I was in the world, you know, we used to get drugs and stuff like that. We used to get stoned. I still get stoned.
In the spirit.
I still get stoned. I get stoned to the bone with a chief cornerstone.
Yes.
That's it.
Praise Woo. God.
Oh, hello, hello, hello. Is that on? Yeah, praise God. That's my brother Reuben. Yeah, come on, man. That's it, man. I grew up with that guy. Yeah. He'd be over the house, man. Shh, Reuben, people are sleeping here, man. That's all right. They need to know. They do. And that's right. They need to know, don't they, brother? Come on, man. Praise God. Oh, I love my brother. Hey, well, praise the Lord. Let's go into the Word of God, and we're going to go to Matthew chapter 1. What do you think that's about? Mm-hmm. Come on. Thank you, guys. Yeah. Well, the other one. Things are already gone. Thank you, man. Thank you, Robert. Glory God. Matthew chapter 1, starting at verse 18. Pray with me. Father, we thank you this morning for your word, God. We thank you, we thank you, we thank you. Everything you have given and done and are still doing, Father, we thank you for all of it, Father. No matter what it looks like, God, we know that you, Father God, are with us, Father. You are with us, Lord. So we thank you for it and we praise you for it, God, in Jesus' name. If you agree, say amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Starting at verse 18, the Word of God says this. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, he was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Hard to convince people. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
That's a tough one. Yeah, whatever. Yeah, okay. The Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Ooh. Mm. Good words. Can you imagine the turmoil? Imagine the things that... We know what people are thinking. We know all this other stuff. Can you imagine the turmoil that's going on with this young lady and Joseph? Just thinking about, man, what are they going to say? Who cares? Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Who cares? There was a prophet 600, a lot of years before that said, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. Come on. Ooh. So who cares what people say? Is that right? The angel said, don't be worried. This is a work of God. Can you say amen?
Amen.
It's a work of God. Ooh, hallelujah. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call him Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Yeah. That's true. His name is Jesus. There's only one name that will. I mean, can you say, yeah, Yeshua? I mean, there's a lot of ways to say his name. I think in Africa it's Juju. I can't remember what it was, but there's all these, but Jesus is the only name. Can you say that? That the, Jesus, the Son of God, is the only name that came to save. Come on. Hallelujah. Now, all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. When Joseph, being raised from the sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife. And he knew her not till she brought forth her firstborn son, and he called him Jesus. Christmas story, amen? Amen. But you know, it's not with all the pretty lights and all the things that we go through during Christmas time, is that right? This is one, this really to the world around looking in would say, hey man, there's, you know, they've been doing something. Is that right? But God says, no, this is a holy thing. This is something that I have done. I have placed my son into the world. Isn't that good? Amen. Jesus had told his father, generations and generations before this, he had said something to his father. Hey, they need to know. Abba, Father, they need to know. They need to understand. I really like that story about this guy. He wouldn't go to church with his wife. She'd tell him, come on, please come to church. It's Christmas. It's Christmas. You got to come on Christmas. Nope, I ain't going. No, I don't need that. I don't need that religion stuff. She goes, but God loves you. Yeah, it's fine. You go ahead. So she leaves, and he's looking out the window, and there's birds outside his window. You guys have heard the story, right? There are these birds are out there, and they're freezing. And he can see them. They're freezing. So he goes, oh, poor birds. So he opens his door, and he goes out there, and they move away from him. And he goes, no, I'm trying to help him. They move away from him, and they keep moving away from him. And they keep, and he gets down on his, he says, oh, God, help me. And then he realizes that he's like that bird that just keeps going, running the wrong direction when God's only trying to help him. Is that right? Is that good?
Yeah.
God just wants to help you. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Oh, come on. Hallelujah. I want to go to the Psalm chapter 40, verse 6 through 8. I want to go back to where Jesus, where it's recorded when in the Psalms that what was said, what Jesus said, start at, I'm going to find it, guys. I know you got it up, but it's okay. I'm going to read it out of my Bible because I got my new Bible in here. Everybody seen my old Bible? I started looking at it. I said, I think it's time to take it out, take it, let it stay home for a while. Is that okay? It's getting about that fat. It's got a lot of mileage on it. How much mileage is on your Bible? You got a lot of mileage on your Bible? Yeah. I like reading the Bible out of my phone, but there's something about out of my book, out of that book, just that does. I mean, it's not compared. I don't know. I don't even know what it is. Maybe it's the electronic part of it. I don't know. But I love reading the Word of God. My daughter showed me her notebook. You got to get her to show it to you. It's a big old notebook, huh? Is that right? And it's got scriptures on one side. It's got places for you to write down things. And it's spiral bound, just like a notebook, but it's a Bible. It's really cool. I like it a lot, man. But I just love reading it out of the book. I don't know why. But in Psalm 40, starting at verse 6, says this, sacrifice and offering thou does not desire. My ears you have opened, burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. Then I said, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me. That volume, that word volume, it means roll. How many know they rolled books up at that time? There's a big scroll. Yeah. So in the volume of the book, it is written of me. I delight to do thy will. Oh, my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. Amen. Praise God. I delight to do your will. Oh, my God. Your law is within my heart. I like this. I love this scripture because it, not only is it describing Jesus' willingness to come to the earth, he says, I just need to look at it again. Yeah. I delight to do thy will. Sacrifice and offering you don't desire. You know what he's talking about there? What's he talking about? Sacrifice and offering. What's he talking about? He's talking about the law. The law that the people, I mean, for this man to say this, that's not very Jewish, is it? They're not very, that's not being a good Jew, because we have to sacrifice it. We got to follow the law. Can I tell you that God has freed us from the law of sin and death? Do you know that? I mean, God has pulled that plug out of the wall and plugged in something else, if you will. The lights. He's pulled out the lights of the Old Testament and plugged it in to the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Well, why would he do that? Because Jesus fulfilled the law. Is that right? The law was righteous. Is that right? But what was wrong with the law? Nobody could keep it. Nobody could keep it. So therefore, Jesus would say, hey, I am going to go. In the volume of the book, it's written of me. And so I'm going to read some scriptures that the volume of the book is in. How many of you guys remember Balak and Balaam? Does anybody remember Balak and Balaam? Yeah. Who was Balaam? He's the guy that had lots of conversations with a donkey. Do you remember that? That Balaam. And Balak was a king that saw Israel come across the Red Sea and was afraid. And he calls Balaam, sends men to Balaam. He says, hey, man, tell Balaam he's got to come. I will make him rich if he comes. So when he gets there, he says, what do you need? He says, hey, I need you to curse Israel. Yeah. I need you to curse Israel. Folks, I'm going to tell you this. The promise that God had for Israel and for anybody that would help her is still the same. God said, those that bless you, I will bless. Those that curse you, I will curse. That's what God says. And it's still true today. It's his word. It never changes. So there's people out there that, you know, there's a lot of folks out in the world today being taught something that they've got no idea what they're talking about. When they stand and they go to their colleges and they protest against Israel, are you kidding me? They've got no idea. No idea of the consequences of what they're doing. Got no idea. Folks, that's why we have to be open mics, if you will. Is that right? Is that right, Pastor? Open mics, man. When God gives you an anointing to say something, you say something. If he doesn't give you that anointing, hold on. Just wait for him. Is that okay? But Balak says, Balaam, I need you to curse them. So I'm going to go to this story here. This is Genesis. I'm sorry. No, this is, where am I? Numbers chapter 24, starting at verse 1, says this. And when Balaam saw that it pleased the Lord to bless Israel. See, every time Balaam looked out there, he'd go to say something. The Lord would not let him
curse Israel. He said no. But the king kept pushing. You got to curse him. You got to curse him. I'll give you everything. Everything I need. I'll give you all my money. I'll give you my Corvette. I'll give you whatever you need. I'll give you everything. Balaam says, I can't do it. And when Balaam saw that it pleased the Lord to bless Israel, he went not, as at other times, to seek for the enchantments, but set his face toward the wilderness. And Balaam lifted up his eyes, and he saw Israel abiding in his tents according to their tribes. And the Spirit of God came upon him. How many of you like that? Amen. When the Spirit of God comes upon them. Yeah. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. If you believe in Jesus, the Spirit of God is within you. Yeah. Is that right? There's a difference in today's talk. In today's, the way you walked and the way they walked back then. The Spirit of God would come upon them. They would prophesy. You know, even David, the Spirit of God would come upon him. The prophets, the Spirit of God would come upon them. But we have something so much more better. Can you say amen?
Amen.
What is that so much better?
The Holy Spirit.
It's God with us.
Amen.
God with us.
Yes.
With us. With us. He's with us. With us. Anyway, he says, and he took up his parable and said, Balaam the son of Beor has said, and the man whose eyes are open has said, he has said, which heard the words of God, which saw the vision of the Almighty, falling into a trance, but having his eyes open, how goodly are thy tents. He's looking out here at these Israelites out there. You know what? You remember the Israelites are complaining and all this other stuff? This is what God's showing them. How goodly are thy tents, O Jacob, and thy tabernacles, O Israel. As the valleys are, they spread forth as gardens by the river's side, as the trees of line aloes, which the Lord has planted, and as cedar trees besides the waters, he shall pour the water out of his buckets. Who shall pour? The Lord shall pour the water out of his buckets. Can you say amen to that? I said, Lord, give me a bucket today. Amen. Yeah, Lord, rise up and water my soul, Lord. Hallelujah. I need a bucket of water. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Ooh, come on. Woo. He shall pour the water out of his buckets, and his seed shall be in many waters. Mm. And his king, what king? His king shall be higher than Agag, and his kingdom shall be exalted.
Amen.
See, in the volume of the book, it's been written of him. This is what even a prophet out of, if you will, Moab, said when he went to curse Israel, but God wouldn't let him curse him. All God would do was let him bless him. And even that prophet was wise enough to say, I can only say what God wants me to say. I can't say anything more. He told them that. The guy kept trying, and but God's intent is blessing on Israel. Can you say amen?
Amen.
That's what he says. And Jesus is that blessing, is the seed.
Amen.
Mm. Numbers 24, verse 17. Here's another word. It's in the same story, but in verse 17, it says this. This is Balaam. He goes, I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not nigh. There shall come a star out of Jacob. Huh. And a scepter shall rise out of Israel and shall smite the corners of Moab and destroy all the children of Seth. There's a star that's rising. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
There's a scepter that's rising. What is this scepter? What is the makeup of this scepter? You know that one that the kings hold? It's righteousness. A scepter will rise. Righteousness will rise. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Folks, we're in a good day today. You might not get it, but we are in a day like no other day. These days that we're going, every day you wake up, how many of you wake up and say, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and I'll be glad in it. Because every day, God is bringing us closer and closer and closer to the revelation of the kingdom of God on the earth. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Hallelujah. His kingdom shall, we sang it. His kingdom will rule. Or is that? His kingdom shall reign over all the earth. Boom, boom. Sing unto the Ancient of Days. Sorry, Steve, I'm blowing it. This kingdom shall reign over all the earth. Mm. Sing unto the Ancient of Days. Ooh, hallelujah. In the volumes of a book, it's been written about who's coming and what's going to happen. It's happening. Can you say amen to that? Hallelujah. Genesis chapter 49, verse 10. Here Jacob is blessing his children, and he's got them all lined up, and he gets to this one kid named Judah. You remember him? And this is what he says over Judah. He says, the scepter shall not depart from Judah. Wait. The scepter, the righteousness of the law? Because the Levites were the keepers of the law, but Judah is the holder of the righteousness, the scepter of the law. Isn't that crazy? Why is it? Because of Jesus. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh come. You know who Shiloh is? Jesus. Shiloh. Till he comes. And unto him shall be the what? The gathering of the people. Hallelujah. Oh, in the volume of the book, it's been written of me, is what he says. In another place, Jesus said, you prepared me a body. Huh. A body. Shiloh's coming. Shiloh has come. Is that right? Jesus came. Can you say amen? How many is anybody glad about that? Here's Deuteronomy. Moses is talking to his people, talking to the people before he leaves because he can't go over Jordan. You guys remember that, right? Yeah. Moses can't go. Why? Because he got mad. What does that tell you? What does it tell us?
Calm down.
What was that word Stella was using this morning?
Bicker.
Stop bickering. He says, right? You have a blessing upon you. Yeah. If that's not good enough, then go ahead and bicker. But if it's good enough, stop bickering. Can you say amen to that? I tell you, folks, God is pushing on the maturity of the body of Christ. He's pushing on it. He says, it's time. Get ready. Can you say amen to that? Hallelujah. Ooh, I can feel that.
Yeah.
Ooh, hallelujah. Quit bickering. I like it, Stella. Sister, Pastor Stella, man. She's telling it like it is this morning.
Come on.
Where's she at? There she is back there. Come on, man. Hallelujah. Stop bickering. Hallelujah. You are the blessing of God. You are the people of God. There's no reason. There is absolutely no reason for you to be bickering. For you to be fighting. For you to have doubt and unbelief. Absolutely no reason. If you just listen to who the Holy Ghost is, to what the Holy Ghost is saying to you, just listen to what his voice is saying. Hallelujah. Here's Moses. He's getting ready to leave, so here's, this is what he tells him. He says, in Deuteronomy 18:15, the Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me, unto him shall you listen. In the volume of the book, it's been written of me. Here Moses is talking about Jesus. And he's saying he's the one to listen to. Can I just say this to you? We say this over all the time here. Don't take my word for it. Get in the Word of God and find out what God is saying to you. What do you hear from me or Pastor or Rebecca or some other folks, somebody that comes, Abe, and people that come up to the microphone and say things? Test everything. That's what he's told us to do. God has told us, try the Spirit to see if they're of God. Test everything. Everybody, look at your neighbor. Tell him, test everything. Put it to the test. Put it to the test. And where's the tester at? It's the Word of God. Is it? Who cares what the world is telling you?
What's God telling?
They might be saying stuff to you that's right. They might not. My wife uses Rosie. What's his name? Bob. She uses this. She goes, I'm going to see if this food is good for me. So some guy on her phone named Bob, she takes a picture of it, and it says, don't buy it, you know, or whatever, man. So what's his name? Has anybody heard of him?
No.
No? Well, just forget about it. but they might be telling you the truth, and they might not. Is that right? Amen. Test everything. Test everything. I'm in trouble already. When I get home, Rosie got to say, she's going to start feeding me stuff that Bob doesn't approve. praise God. I'm going to go back to Psalm 40, verse 6 through 8. Psalm 40, verse 6 through 8, one more time. It says, sacrifice and offering you did not desire. God doesn't want your sacrifice. I remember when I was very much a Catholic, that we would do things, and I don't know what we call the mandas. Have you ever heard of that? A manda. And we do things and to try to maybe get God's pleasure on us or try to get him to hear us and you know what? God doesn't need that. You don't need that. That's a form of sacrifice. Do you know that? Now, I'm not talking about the fast and those things, because those things are very good for you. They are good for you to go after God. But to say, hey, I'm going to walk 10 miles today for Jesus with my bare feet where the cactus is.
Ouch.
No. I say, man, you know what? I don't think God cares about that, man. I mean, just put some shoes on, dude, and go. But as you go, pray to him, talk to him. God's already sent his answer to you. Can you say amen?
Amen?
He's already sent his answer to you. He died for you. That's good enough. All you have to do is believe him for it. Just believe him. Just say, God, I believe you. I believe you. Because he does want to bless you. We know that. Amen. Sacrifice and offering you did not desire. My ears you've opened. See, in order for us to understand God, he's got to open our ears. Is that right? Because I used to hear stuff before I knew the Lord, and it didn't. My ears weren't open to it. But then when I received him into my heart, all of a sudden, my ears were hearing things I'd never heard before. I began to see things I never saw before. I fell in love with things that I never loved before. I didn't like reading a lot, but I couldn't put the Bible down. I just couldn't. It was just feeding me and feeding me. I was receiving things that I... Because now he's with me. God with us. Hallelujah. Then I said, lo, I come in the volume of the book, it is written of me. And we just saw that it's been written. I delight to do your will, my God. Thy law is within my heart. How many know God wants to put everything within you? He wants to stick these things. I want to take you to Hebrews chapter 10, starting at verse 1. Because I believe that this is a very revealing chapter in the New Testament. It's got a lot in it. Hebrews has a lot in it. I say this has got to be Paul. How many know they don't know who the writer of Hebrews is? They don't. They just kind of say, well, I really myself, just by what I see and how I hear it, I really think it's Paul. I believe it's Paul the Apostle. But here in chapter 10, Paul begins to write things. Well, I shouldn't say that. Huh? Whoever it is, the guy, begins to say things. And he says this, the law having a shadow of good things to come and not the very image of the things. There it is right there. The law having a shadow of good things to come and not the very image of the things can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. So those sacrifices, no matter how many times they sacrificed them, they could not help that individual to be what God would call perfect. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
How many, you know, and this is one of those things that people have a hard time kind of realizing, but do you realize that God is desiring for your mindset to be clean and clear?
Yeah.
Do you know that? Do you know that with Christ dwelling in you, perfection is within you? How many say amen? Yeah, I mean, I didn't put it down in there, but let me look at the scripture real quick, Terry, see if I can. I think it's in Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 32. Moses is speaking, and starting at verse 3. I'm going to read through verse 4 too, okay? Because I will publish the name of the Lord, ascribe ye greatness to the Lord. How many ascribe greatness to God? I'm like, whoo, he's great. Man, there ain't nobody like him. No one can compare to your master's word. Come on. Isn't that right? Sing unto the Ancient of Days. Nobody can compare. And he says, so because I will publish the name of the Lord, ascribe ye greatness to our God. The next verse says this. He's the rock. Everybody look at your neighbor and say, rock. He's the rock. His work is what? Perfect. All his ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity. Amen? Just and right is he. Is that right? Just and right. His work is what? What's that word? Perfect. 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 I really believe that we need to get out of our vocabulary. I'm not perfect. Amen. We need to get that out.
Yeah.
Because God has bought you with a price. You died, he entered.
Amen.
So your mindset might think one way, but God says, that's not the way to think. The way to think is the way the kingdom thinks.
Amen.
And what God has done for you, He's brought perfection into your life. But we walk around and we say, well, I'm not perfect. I'm not perfect. Woe is me, because I'm not perfect. I'm not perfect. What'd you expect? I'm not perfect. I'm just a human. I'm only human. You're only human. You're not perfect. Don't let anybody tell you you're not perfect.
Amen.
You tell them Christ dwells in me.
Amen.
I'm not gonna go around Safeway and telling everybody in the store, hey, I'm perfect. What do you think? No, there's a mindset of this perfection. There is a mindset. And it's a clear and beautiful mindset if you'll walk in it.
Yeah.
Quit making excuses. We're alone, not perfect. Why? When you say that, you're making an excuse for yourself. Well, if you're not perfect, you'll probably do it again, right? Yeah, I probably will. Why? Because I like to. Yeah. Why? Because it's fun. Sin is fun.
Not foreseen?
No, it's not.
No, it's not.
It destroys. Is that right? Come on, man. So here Paul is telling you, he says, back to Hebrews 10, I'm sorry. For the sacrifice, for the law having a shadow of good things to come and not the very image of the things can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered? In other words, if they were perfect, they wouldn't need to offer anymore. Is that right? Is that correct?
Correct.
Isn't that good that we don't have to still offer sacrifices?
Yes.
Why? Why? What's the law? What's the logic here? What's the logos telling you? The logos is telling you you're not having to do it anymore. Why? Because there's something that has happened to you. Perfection has entered into you. Woo, hallelujah.
Yeah.
The logos. Yeah, come on. It says, for then would they not have ceased to have offered because that worshipers once purged should have had no more, what? Conscience of sins. Oh, man. I like that word purged.
Me too.
When you died at the cross with Jesus, You were purged.
Hallelujah.
He brought his spirit into your life and he rose you again from the dead, even though. How many saw the cross of Christ? How many were there? No. Not a one of us. But we were all there. We were all there. He saw us. And he died for us. Isn't that cool?
Yes.
The foreknowledge of God, the understanding of God, the omniscience of God, his all-knowing. Each and every one of us. My children, my grandchildren, my great-grandchildren. My daughter's going, okay, you can stop there. No, and my great-great-great-grandchildren. He knows them all. Is that right? He knows them all. He paid for them all. He bought them all. Hallelujah. And I'm going to teach him that. My great-great-great-great-great-grandchild, I'm going to teach him that. I'm going to say, man, do I look old? No, Tata. The worshipers once purged should have no more conscience of sin. You should have no conscience of sin. If you do, talk to the Lord about it. Go to him about it. Because his job is the job of perfecting the saints. Do you know that? That's what he says in his word. But in those sacrifices, there is remembrance again made of sins every year. Why? Because those sacrifices can't wash away your sins. They can cover them, but they can't wash them away. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he comes into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering. This is Psalm 6. Sacrifice and offering you did not want. You wouldest not. But a body you have prepared me in burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin. You have had no pleasure. God didn't like us killing all those little animals. But because of the severity of sin, all those animals died. How many know those thousands of animals were sacrificed? Thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of animals sacrificed just to cover the sin of man. Isn't that crazy? And I don't like it. And God doesn't like it. But it's saying something to us. Amen? It's bringing us to who Christ is and what he did. He says, a body you have prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, you have had no pleasure. Then I said, lo, I come in the volume of the book it's written of me to do your will, O God. Above when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offering and offering for sin, you wouldest not, neither has had pleasure in them. Now look at what it says right here. He's talking about those sacrifices. He didn't have pleasure in them. The next thing he says, which were offered by the law. Okay, sorry. The next thing he says, then said he, lo, I come to do your will, O God. He takes away the first. See that? That he may establish the second. By which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. What will? The will that Jesus said, I come to do your will. That will, his will, brings us into the sacrifice. Every priest stands by daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifice, which can never take away sins. Never. How many ever say never?
Never.
Never. Those sacrifices could never take away sins. There's people that want to go back to the Old Testament all the time. I will tell you something. That's good, but the Old Testament is good to study and to know so that you can understand what Christ has done. It's not to go back and do the ceremonies. And that's not what God's after. He's after, what does God want from us? I will tell you what he wants. I tell you, old man, what is it that God wants? But to love mercy and judgment and to walk humbly with your God. That's what he's after. He's after your heart. Mercy. Hi, Mercy. Mercy. He wants mercy. Quit bickering. Thank you, Stella. Quit bickering. Judgment. Know what's right and what's wrong. If it's wrong, get away from it. Is that right? Quit walking the line. We play volleyball at my house, and I got these they're lines made out of seatbelt, I guess. I don't know what else to make. Some kind of nylon belts. And if the ball hits the line, it's what?
Outbounds.
It's in. It's in. Come on, man. If the ball hits the line, it's in. But if it's outside the line, so there's a lot of Christians walking on the line. They think because they're in. You need to get away from that line. Does that make sense to you? You know what I'm saying to you? We need to quit walking the line. Get away from that line and watch what God will do. Come on, man. Hallelujah. Bunch of line walkers. Yeah. Tightrope. How close can I get? Yeah, come on, man. Every priest stands daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, who's he talking about? This man, Jesus. After he offered one sacrifice for sins, for how long?
Forever.
Sat down on the right hand of God from henceforth, expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. Can I tell you that, see that, expecting his enemies be made his footstool? Do you know how he's going to do that? He's going to do that by the Holy Spirit living in you. That we on this earth, because we don't have to go after his enemies up in heaven. Isn't that right? We don't need to go up there to fight enemies. God is telling us, hey, the enemies that are here, stand against them. Huh. And I will say to us again and again and again, the biggest enemy we have is self. It's self. It's doing what you want to do when you want to do it because you like it. And God says, hey, man, you're a prince, but you should be the image of God. Huh. You haven't elevated to that position of the image of God. You're acting like a prince, and you're going to die like a prince unless you begin to act the way God wants you to act. Can you say amen to that? That's a rough word because it's not as easy as you think it is. Is that right? But God does something in your life where he says, I can do this. He won't give you anything that's more than you can handle. Do you know that? Isn't that what the word of God says? He won't give you anything more than you handle. So if you've got something going on, guess what? He knows you can handle it. Is that right?
Yep.
Is that the logic? Mm-hmm. He knows. It's time that we begin to believe what his word is saying. Watch this. Here it comes to it. He says, but this man, after he offered a sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God from henceforth, expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. There's people that are expecting to get off the earth. But there's something that has to happen. The body of Christ needs to come to a maturity where the enemies are the footstool of God. That's what he's waiting for. He's sitting there. In the Old Testament, God says, sit here at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. He's not getting up and coming until the body of Christ realizes who they are and begin to walk in it. We have to, folks. This is what the Holy Spirit is saying. The maturity of the body of Christ is important to God. Quit playing games. We're not here to play games. The seriousness of the body. I don't know how else to put it. You're big. Hi, man. She won't shake my hand. Hey, brother. It's a long time since I seen her. Hey, man, Eric, how are you? This is Eric. Everybody say hi, Eric.
Hi, Eric.
Yeah. Sorry, man. I got excited. Yeah. Hey, let me just say this. I lost it. No.
What do you mean you made the switch?
This is serious. It really is. It's really serious. But know this. That we cannot see the things that he has for us beyond because of the fact that we're still walking in the things that we don't, that we think we need to be walking in. Does that make sense? Well, sometimes we think we need to be walking this way, but God is saying something very different. He says, look at my word. Watch what my word says. See that I am taking you to a place of a different perspective. How many know there's a perspective that you need to have? It's called vision. The perspective you have, every one of us should have a vision. Is that okay? If you don't have a vision, ask him for one, because he has it for you. Sometimes we just go along not asking. But the perfection he's trying to bring to us is something that's so important. Oh, boy. Till his enemies may be made his footstool, for by one offering, this is what he says, I have perfected forever them that are sanctified. How many are sanctified? How many of you are perfect? see, people still have a little trouble. People still have a little trouble, man. But you got. Hey, check it out in the Word. Oh, let me just. He just gave me another scripture. God, where's that at? Oh, it's in Hebrews. Yeah, Hebrews chapter. I got a new Bible, so I don't have the markings in it like I used to. So it's really challenging me. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 19. Let's look at that. Check this out. Just look at this scripture, and if I'm lying, I'm dying. Is that okay? For the law made nothing perfect. What did he take you out of? He brought you out of the law. And he says, but the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did. Did what? Did make things perfect. Is that right? God is at work in your life. Do you understand that? And his work, we read it earlier, his work is perfect. Let him have his perfect work. Isn't that what the Word of God says? The perfection of God is in you. Don't ever let anybody tell you that you're anything less. Is that okay? You can hold on to things people can tell you stuff, and you can hold on to things without having to respond, without having to agree. How many of you ever had somebody tell you this, that, and the other? And you say, hey, you walk away, say, well, I don't agree with that. Anybody? Yeah. I had a guy tell me, he says, man, you're just old. Everybody forgets. What? What? I remember the first time I pulled through the gate at the mine. Uh-huh. There was a young kid there. And he goes, come on in, sir. Sir? I'd never been called sir in my life before. I said, why'd you call me sir? Well, you look old? Yes, sir. I don't want to ever see you at this gate again. You see, don't let anybody, you'll walk away from it. I don't agree with that. I just don't agree. A doctor might say something to you, so the Word of God says that I'm whole and I'm complete. This too will pass. Can you say that? How many, say that to yourself. Say that real quick. This too will pass. This too will pass. Got a big corn on your foot? This too will pass. There we go. Because the Word of God says, by his stripes you're healed. The Word of God says, you are whole and complete in him. Hallelujah. Folks, it the Word of God says, fear not. Fear not, for I am with you. Is that right? He's with you always. It's God with us. I was at the mine one time. And I was what time is it? Oh, I got time. I was at the mine. I was working on a belt, and I was standing on the belt. A lot of you have heard this, but this belt was incline belt, mill feed belt. Yeah. Incline belt was right at number 8, And there's a catwalk that's right along the side of that belt. Is that right? I'm glad you're here. You're going to verify all this for them. There's a catwalk along that mill feed belt, right? And it's an incline. The catwalk goes straight, and then this belt's going down this way. I'm standing next. I've got the catwalk at my back right here, and I'm cutting bolts off of it. And I feel the belt move, and I'm standing on it. I feel the belt move, and I kind of repositioned my feet. Didn't know why it moved. Didn't look up. But earlier, I had seen somebody standing right at that catwalk. I saw the steel-toe shoes there. And I've got cutting goggles on and everything. So anyway, I felt the belt move. And then the next thing I know, one of the guys I work with, he hadn't put a brake on this thing. So with no brake on it, he cut it. And that belt just took off down that incline. I'm standing on it. And right below me, it's probably a drop. What would you say, 30 feet? Probably 30 feet below it. It's open. And the belt's moving, and I'm going, hey, and I'm getting ready to throw that torch up onto that deck behind me. But the torch is on, and I don't want to burn anybody up there. So I held on to it, and I'm trying to get my bearings. And all of a sudden, I just felt somebody just pick me up.
Wow.
Oh, wow. I go, ooh. Picked me up long enough so I could look down and I could see the framework to the, and I put my feet there and he set me back down. And I shut off the torch, pulled my gown, and I looked back to see who it was. There was nobody standing there. And the guy that cut the belt, he's right there. I'm sorry. He's telling me, I'm sorry. I said, who's standing there? He goes, there was nobody standing there. Who picked me up? Nobody picked you up. What are you talking about? Who's with us here, man? That's just me and you, buddy. See, no, God's with me. God is with you. God is with you. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. What he has said to you, he will do. He is faithful to every promise he's ever made to you. Every promise that you can find in the Word of God, he's faithful to it. That's why it's important that you look in the Word of God, look for these promises that he has for you. They will build you. They will strengthen you. Sometimes they come at a time when you're hurting and the promise comes in. You read the Word of God and, oh, there it is. I needed that today. How many of you ever had that? I needed this one today.
Yes.
He's always with you. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. What he has said, he will do. The perfection of the believer is something that I believe that God is saying. I was preaching the perfection of the believer, and I was told that I couldn't preach that because the church that I was going to didn't. That was not something that they believed. And the pastor that I had, I said, Pastor, how can the Holy Spirit's been showing me this? How can I say anything else? And he goes, I didn't say that it's wrong. I just said that this denomination, if you will, does not believe that. I didn't know what to do. It really, really rattled my, shivered my timbers. Is that what it is? Really rattled my cage. So that weekend, I told Rosie, hey, won't we go somewhere and take a break? So we went up to where John and Stella were from. We went up to Pine Top. And up in Pine Top, Sunday morning, I said, let's go to church. So we went to church. And there's a young man up there, and he's preaching exactly almost the same things that I was saying when I was told not to say that. The denomination was the same. And as he's saying it, I'm all fired up. Can you imagine? Come on, bro. Come on. You got it, bro. Come on, man. Yeah, come on. Everything he said, you got it. Man. Come on, man. I'm all fired up. Rosie's going, Henry. Yeah. She goes, look around. And people are just kind of looking at me, giving me this eye. I go, whoa, what's going on? So we finish, and Rosie and I are walking out. And this brother comes running out of the church, and he stops me. He goes, can I tell you? Thank you, because I really needed somebody, because this is what the Holy Spirit... I said, bro, I needed this. This is what I came for. You know, God is good.
Yeah.
What he tells you, when he shows you something, you hold on to it no matter what they say. If Henry says, that ain't right, who cares if God gave it to you? Because Henry just might not have had that revelation yet. That's why the Word of God says, oh, try the Spirit. Try the Spirit. You see, we are in a time where every person shall be taught of God. Everyone. Taught of God. Not taught by a denomination, not by a teacher, but taught of God. And God just opens the mouth of men and women to speak his word so that you might pick it up, so you might hear it being, and you might hear the logistics of it, the logic, the logos, so that you might pick it up, so that you might receive revelation. Is that okay?
Amen.
Listen, folks, the perfection of Christ is in you. Don't talk against what God has done for you. Never talk against what he's done for you. You're perfect. In my eyes, y'all are perfect. Amen? Praise God, man. Stand up and we're going to pray for you. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. God, we thank you for the perfection of Christ. That your work is perfect, Father God. And we are your workmanship, Lord. So God, we thank you for it and we praise you for it, Lord. We give you glory and honor. Father, stop our mouths in making excuses for things that we're doing that are contrary to you. Stop our actions. Stop our thoughts. Stop those things, Father God, that we... that we walk in presuming, God, that you're okay with it. Help us, Father. Help, Lord. Help us, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, rakasandadai. Help us, Lord. We thank you for it. We praise you for it, Lord. Rise up, O God, in the midst of your people, Lord, and let the earth know, Lord. Let all the nations know that there is a God in Zion. Father, we thank you for it. We praise you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. If you agree, say amen.
Amen.
Give somebody a hug on your way out. Tell them, hey, you're perfect.
Woo!
Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the Word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.